Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Peter Doherty. I'm a Catholic priest and a psychologist who integrates both psychology and scripture studies to understand the Gospels and to seek out new pastoral teachings for Christians in these modern times. The Gospel for today's podcast is John chapter 12, verse 20 to 33. This Gospel will be read in churches on March the 17th, 2024. One of the unusual themes found in this Gospel is the paradox of death leading to life. What is unique here is Jesus' understanding about life and death, where death comes before life. One would think that you would have to live before you can die. However, Jesus turns that all around. Jesus said that one has to die before one can live fully. It is only by experiencing death that one can live life to the fullest. Not the easiest concept to grasp. There are several passages in Scripture where Jesus warns his followers that if they want to save their life, they will lose it. Examples are Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, chapter 10, verse 39, Luke chapter 9, verse 24, and Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Jesus may have been preparing his followers for the persecutions that would soon impact the struggling Christian communities. While this may be true, I suspect there's more here. It is one of the ironies of life that dying is a lived experience. We experience death long before we physically die. Dying is a necessary part of life. I doubt that Jesus is speaking solely of physical death, but rather speaking about the small deaths we experience throughout our lives. We die to our childhood when we become an adolescent, and then we die to our adolescence when we become adults. St. Paul describes this well in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11, where he talks about moving from a child to adult ways. Sometimes people have difficulty with these transitions and try to hold on to a previous level of development. I could say that many of the people with whom I have worked with were dealing with the struggle of letting go and dealing with the anxiety of adjusting to a new level of functioning. In some extreme cases, I would cite a diagnosis of Peter Pan syndrome, where the individual refuses to grow up. Many people have heard the story of Peter Pan, the boy who never grew up. Peter Pan syndrome is not a formal diagnosis and does not have recognition in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, but rather it is an informal term that some psychologists use to describe someone who just won't grow up. The problems occur when we are stuck in place, when we are not willing to let go and choose rather to hold on to our present status. We are essentially shutting out any possibility of spiritual growth or psychological growth for that matter. One of the psychological defense mechanisms for dealing with anxiety and grief is regressing to an earlier level of development. This may not be initially a problem, but if used too frequently or lasting too long, it will stunt our spiritual growth. I'm also reminded of the theories of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who wrote a book on the stages of grief. For those who are not familiar with her theory, she proposed 5 stages of feelings one goes through in the grieving process. We've come to realize that the stages are not sequential, but that we can be experiencing several stages of grief at the same time as we experience the different aspects of loss. For example, I could be at one stage in dealing with my father's death, but at another stage of grieving his loss, I might grieve the fact that he would not know me as an adult, and at the same time grieve the loss of support I once had. So while there are criticisms of her theory, I personally am not as willing to dismiss the theories that Kubler-Ross proposes. Her theory shows us that grief is part of living. We could opt to live a superficial life, not investing in relationships. However, we would pay the ultimate price of not living fully. I'd like to introduce you to Erik Erikson, who developed his theories of lifespan psychosocial development. He talks about the 8 stages that one experiences throughout life. What I want to draw your attention to is that each stage leads to the next one. Successfully embracing one stage leads one to be better prepared to move on to the next stage. Conversely, unsuccessful resolution at a particular stage impairs the person and the chances of success in subsequent stages. I'm drawn to this theory because each stage prepares the person for the next. There's a letting go of the past in order to better embrace the next stage, and with it, the new challenges of life. Hesitating to move forward is understandable and happens a lot. John describes Jesus as being troubled and even wanting to be relieved of his responsibility. We hear about this in the agony in the garden. We see the same theme in Matthew 26, verse 36 to 39, where Jesus in the garden, just hours before his arrest and trial, he is fully aware of what is going to happen, and this greatly stresses him. We learn that Jesus did not want to die. He valued his life and did not want to end his life. Even though he did not want to die, he was nevertheless willing to follow God's wishes. I don't believe that Jesus was crucified as some blood sacrifice for our sins, but rather to live out for us the dying to life teaching Jesus had been teaching throughout his ministry. Jesus' teaching of the dying to live is reflected in his death and ultimately his rising to new life at the resurrection. Animal sacrifices were prevalent at this time and were important as a form of worship. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 19, Abraham's loyalty is tested by God when he is instructed to sacrifice his beloved son, Isaac. Abraham passes the test and Isaac is spared. It makes sense that earlier writers of the scriptures would understand the crucifixion of Jesus through the lens of sacrifice. Some scripture scholars today are viewing the Paschal mystery, the death and the resurrection, as providing a blueprint of death and new life in our own lives. The implications of this teaching today provides us with a better way to live our life. We live this teaching when we live in the present. We recognize that what we live is temporary. Let our faith remind us that when someone or something we love ends or dies, we are called to embrace the next step of personal and spiritual growth. We must live fully in the present moment. When we procrastinate, we put off opportunities for growth. Let our experiences of grief and or loss be a source of spiritual growth. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join me next week when I examine the Gospel of Mark, who describes important events such as the Last Supper and the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus. I also would like to invite you to attend an Easter retreat that I will be hosting through a podcast. You please check. There'll be another podcast released very shortly on instructions on this retreat. Just to differentiate it from my regular podcasts, it'll be in a white hibiscus. Will be the emblem, and I invite you to read up about it and see if you are interested. You're most welcome to join. If this is your first time you've heard my podcast and you are interested in hearing more, I urge you to listen to my podcast listed on my website. Every Sunday, I release a new podcast focusing on the gospel for the following week. I invite you to listen to all the podcasts, and I hope the reflections are useful to you. The link to the podcast is https://a_psychologist_looks_at_scripture.buzzsprout.com. If you have any questions or concern, I can be reached at peter.doherty@gmail.com. That's peter.doherty@gmail.com. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Richard Coulomb, who has served as my reviewer. Have a great week, and God bless.